All right, so these t-shirts are nothing more than to be a billboard. The last verse of this passage is what's on the back of this shirt. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. But a few years ago, well, actually probably several years ago, almost 10 maybe, God started calling folks out of our midst into other areas. Now, what I'm fixing to say is an explanation. In no way is it meant to be any kind of an opinion or a shot or anything like that. But there's several wonderful people that have left our church, but they still live in this area, and they're not on this list. Why is that? Because this is a list for those that were here, and the only reason they left, if you will, was because God called them to another part of our nation. And they asked for us to pray for them. And I felt like that we needed to pray for them, because it would be the same as if you got a call from your boss today saying, if you want to keep your job, you got to move. Or, hey, guess what? You don't have a job, and you got to go find one. Two men after first service this morning told me that they got that word this week. I don't have permission to tell you their name. I didn't ask that, but I do have confidence to tell you, you need to pray for folks in our fellowship. They're looking for a job type thing. And so with that said, one of those folks that's on this list is here today, Brother Randy Nance and his beautiful daughter. And so Randy is, in my mind, famous to me because, you know, they're on that search. They're looking for the church that God wants them to be a part of and the such. And for some of our families, it's been a difficult journey. Now, we're not on any level saying that Bethel's all that, as much as when you find a place that you love, you find a place that you love. And when you go, you're just naturally going to try to find a place like that. Well, guess what? You know, and there's thousands of churches that can say this. There's just one of a kind, you know, type thing. And so with that said, I always encourage them, don't look for another Bethel. Look for the church that God wants you to be a part of regardless. The Holy Spirit will lead you. So in Brother Randy's search, the first several months, maybe a year, he sent me this text. Brother Ben, I just got to say this. Thank you for not wearing skinny jeans. That's what he said. I said, Brother Randy, there's very few things that I can promise you, but I can promise you I will never be caught dead in skinny jeans. Now, you might say, now wait a minute, Brother Ben. You know, you've got some jeans and some, watch this. They're stretchy. That's a difference. There's a difference. I'm not able, allowed, or willing to wear jeans because I can show off anything. I got to find jeans that'll fit comfortably. And watch this. This is the neat thing about me. You find those jeans with elastic bands, you can be a 38 and wear a 34. Yeah, and you walk around, look at me. Yeah, well. And, of course, then you go, you know, you let it out. Yeah, right. So, anyway, thank you, Brother Randy, for sharing that experience with me. And it's great to have them. We have several families that have been able to come back and be with us. And I'm begging you, any time that you see that, make a big deal about it. Make a big deal about it type thing. Be sure that they know that you missed them type thing. All right. I got to turn to my Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're starting in verse 11. Let's go ahead and stand for the reading and reverence of God's holy word. Simple title, Daily Practical Holiness. So Peter started in this in chapter 1 in the hope, because you remember he was writing to people that had been scattered because of persecution, and he names it. They'd been scattered to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, and he called it the dispersion. And so he reminds them of their salvation, and that as a result of their salvation, they should have hope. And they could have hope. And then he reminds them that you're fixing to face them. We don't know totally what the future holds for us, but we can look at the climate, if you will, and we can see that if God does not stretch out his hand and start a revival in the United States of America, it's going to get difficult for Christians. I believe that. I've been saying that for 20 years, and I believe I've got plenty of evidence to prove it, if you will, now. Now, with that said, he's telling them, though, that because of your salvation, you can have hope in those difficult times. And then he goes on to encourage them to be holy. And he gives the theological basis, if you will, for why. But now he's giving the practical daily to-do list. Had a preacher say one time, Brother Ben, don't ever tell your people what they ought to do without telling them how to do it. And so Peter does that here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, and they will, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Let's say that together. You ready? Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Father, we ask you to add your richest blessings to the preaching of your word, changes to look more like you. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Amen. You may be seated. It's not very often. It's easier when I'm in a particular passage, a book, and I know what's coming next. And so this week was one of those, for me, it just always kind of takes the pressure off when I can get in the passage early. And that's always a hope of mine. It's always, if you will, a striving, a discipline. So Tuesday, I started in this. And when I got to that verse 17, my eyes are not finding. There it is. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I've read that all my life. I've heard that all my life. And I can't think of much better. I mean, there's other good mottos in God's word, but that's one of the best. It just kind of sums it up. Kind of like love God, love others. It gets a little more detailed though. And through the week, I would try to, I'd test myself and see if I could come up with it by memory. And so Tuesday, I thought, well, it'd be neat to have a t-shirt that says that. And again, just as a billboard, just as a reminder, just as a visual aid. And so, no, my wife didn't go out and pick this ensemble for herself. I said, you're wearing an orange shirt Sunday. Okay. And she made it work. And so I'm appreciative to her for that. But that's the end result of the daily practical holiness that you and I are to show. Honor all people. We're going to get into that at the very end of the message. Love the brotherhood. That's each other. We're to support one another. Fear God. We've been talking about that a lot recently. Honor the king. Now, no, we don't have a king, but I believe that you're not doing any damage to God's word to understand, because we've got other passages to support this. He's talking about your president. He's talking about your Congress, your Senate, your state legislature. He's asking you to honor the government that is over you. Daily practical holiness. Well, point number one, the personal holiness approach. So how do we achieve daily practical holiness? Well, he dives in it here at verse 11. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims. Now, he's going somewhere with this, but we must pay attention to how he's getting there. I've heard preachers say, God doesn't beg. Well, I don't really know, but I know that many, many times he has asked me to beg on his behalf. And Peter is begging these people, these scattered, depressed, persecuted people, he's begging them to remember who they are. I'm begging you as sojourners and pilgrims. Well, what does that mean? First of all, and we've talked about this the last 2 weeks, they are and you are, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are first and foremost and most importantly, citizens of heaven. We are, as conservative Christians, very grateful and thankful to be in America, but that is way down the line of importance. You and I must remember where we really have our citizenship at. Heaven. Because that's where we're going to live the rest of our lives. And to make decisions that dishonor God because we're here on this planet is a sin. And we must remember where our citizenship lies. And so if you and I are going to have holiness, if we're going to daily practice holiness, we've got to remember that, yes, we're an American, but first of all, I'm a citizen of heaven. And as a result, I'm a pilgrim. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. How many times have I said that song in the last 6 weeks? Several. Because it's what Peter's trying to push. He's trying to get you and I to get our eyes focused on heaven. Our eyes absolutely gazed, locked in to heaven. And God will absolutely get you through whatever's going on today if you'll lock that heavenly gaze on Christ and on what we're going to, if you will. I told the first service, I can't even remember what news had come down, but some pretty heavy news had come down, and Dawn and I, we just started saying that song to each other. This world's not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So the first point under daily practical holiness is to remember who you are and what you are, a citizen of heaven. And then he says, I'm begging you as sojourners and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now that word abstain simply means, in a general sense, to forbear or refrain from. Don't do it. Voluntarily, but used chiefly to denote a restraint upon the passions or appetites, to refrain from indulgence. Make a choice to abstain from the appetites and urges of the flesh that the mind, will, and emotions so badly want to provide for the body. Do you remember the dominant spirit message several weeks, maybe a few 3 months ago now? The dominant spirit must be stronger and must be what you go through to tell your mind, will, and emotion what to do and what choices to make for the body. If the dominant spirit, led by Christ and empowered by God's word, is not telling the mind, will, and emotion what to do, then the body's going to tell the mind, will, and emotion what to do. And that leads to all sorts of indulgences. That leads to all sorts of addictions. It leads to all sorts of bad decisions. Why? Because these fleshly lusts war against the soul. The thief, the Bible says, cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. The scripture says, be not conformed to this world. To just accentuate this point, I want you to hear, and we've watched this before, but it's been many years ago. I want you to watch this 6-minute clip by John Piper on...
The only possible attitude toward out-of-control desire is a declaration of all-out war. I hear so many Christians murmuring about their imperfections and their failures and their addictions and their shortcomings, and I see so little war. Murmur, murmur, murmur. Why am I this way? Make war! If you wonder how to make war, go to the manual. Don't just bellyache about your failures. Make war! He says, I'm continuing the quote, there is something about war that sharpens the senses. You hear a twig snap or rustling of the leaves and you are in attack mode. Someone coughs and you are ready to pull the trigger. Even after days of little or no sleep, war keeps us vigilant. There is a mean, violent streak to the true Christian life. Now let's very carefully ask, violence against whom? Or what? Not other people. Not other people. Not other people. Not Muslims. Not Hindus. Not Buddhists. Not atheists. Not secularists. Not nominal Christians. Not wives or husband or children or ordinary bosses. But on every impulse in our soul to be violent to other people. Violence, a mean streak in Christianity, against our own selves and all in us that would make peace with sin and a settling in peacetime mindset. We make war on that in us. It's a violence against all lust in ourselves. All enslaving desires for food, caffeine, sugar, chocolate, alcohol, pornography, money, the praise of man, approval of others, power, fame. This is our enemy. This is where we make war. It is a violence against all racism in our souls, all sluggish indifference to injustice in our souls, a violence against all indifference to poverty and indifference to abortion in our souls. Did you know that in the warfare of Romans, Satan doesn't show up until chapter 16. We tend to think of spiritual warfare as this little thing where you find some way to pray or some way to lay hands on or some way to do a Satan thing. Well, that's important. Believe me, that's important. We war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and world rulers of this present darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's important. But you know what? It's not nearly as important as this. Because the only foothold Satan has in your life is your flesh and your sin. Nobody goes to hell because of Satan. The only reason we go to hell is sin. Much more important than fighting Satan is fighting sin. This warfare in verse 13 is vastly more important than figuring Satan out. Get that? My biggest enemy is not Satan. My biggest enemy is John Piper. And he's the only reason I'll go to hell, not Satan. Satan, you don't have nearly that kind of power. And therefore, I really care about us learning how to do this battle. Christianity is not a settle in, live at peace with the world the way it is religion. Like most Christians live their daily lives. Verse 13. If by the Spirit you kill. There's a mean streak in Christianity, and it's not against anybody else but ourselves. In fact, it's against the meanness of ourselves against other people. In fact, it's against the meanness. If you feel like you're a mean person against others, a harsh person, a critical person, you know your problem? You haven't learned to make war. You haven't learned to be mean. You haven't learned to get violent against your violence, against your meanness, against your critical spirit. And you complain of it, talk about it, but have you made war 24/7 against it?
I did not properly introduce that. That was John Piper, so he was talking about himself. The only person that can send John Piper to hell is John Piper because of his sin of unbelief. The only person that can send you or anyone else to hell is you, that person, because of your sin of unbelief. But of course, this is talking more about what this first point is about, the daily practical holiness. You know, and guys, one of my personal struggles is out there for everyone to see. And I've talked about it, and I'm telling you that by God's grace, I am fighting it. I came very intimately aware this week after my visit with my doctor that I wasn't fighting it hard enough. I've shared with you before that it seems like that he has to make me mad before I do something about whatever's going on, and that's okay. And very honestly, I think that's our relationship too sometimes. Sometimes, I have to hold the mirror up and make you a little bit mad. I can't believe you said that. Because I certainly have taken that offense by what other preachers have said. This preacher said at a mission symposium in Little Rock, Arkansas, you need to quit blaming the devil for your troubles and blame your own sorry self. Amen. But boy, that hurts. But it's true. It's so true. And I've spent the rest of the week since my appointment trying to build my argument against what he said for the next appointment. But still, the bottom line, I'm not making war like I can. Like I can. And by God's grace, I am. I'm going to continue to, but watch this. It'll be obvious if I'm not. And church, watch this. As hurtful as this is, as hard to talk about as this is, whatever struggle you've got, it's the same thing. You remember a while back we talked about what's the one thing that if you changed would be obvious to everyone. Because unfortunately, it's a sin that's just out there for everyone to see. And if we're going to participate in what God is calling us to participate in, we're going to make war against that. One of the other areas I've shared with you, I believe I'm a prophet, meaning that I've been given the spiritual gift of prophecy. I don't have the ability to foretell. I'm so thankful for that. Because in the Old Testament, if you foretold anything and it didn't come true, you were to be stoned. I don't want that pressure. I've got the ability to foretell, that is to apply God's word to a situation. Hallelujah. Watch this. The fleshly uses of prophecy in the Bible is to be judgmental, to be critical, to be mean-spirited. And I hope that most, if not all of you, maybe Robert and Craig and a few others, you've never experienced that side of Brother Ben. But my wife can tell you, my kids can tell you, it's there. There's a guy in St. Clair that can tell you it's there too. Because I was on the phone yesterday talking to my mother about my brother. I'm asking you to continue to pray for Barry. He's on his third trip to rehab. Please pray for Barry. With that said, I'm talking to Mom about that. So I'm involved. And I've learned at R&R. R&R loves you. And I'm being serious. This is a shameless plug for R&R. They love you so much that they will provide masks for you. You don't have to just remember to bring, they've got one in there waiting on you. I've used several. So I'm going unmasked towards R&R, and there is a fella, he's putting his mask on, and he sees me unmasked, and he looks at the sign, and he looks at me and then points at the sign. Well, I failed yesterday because I said to my mom, "Hang on, Mom, there's a guy here that's so concerned about my health that, you know, he's worried about my mask. Sir, if you'll go in, I can get to my mask. They got a mask waiting on me." That was not very pastoral, was it? And I'm telling you that it's that type of stuff that we've got to make war against. You know what I could have said? You know what I should have said? "Thank you, sir. But you may or may not be aware that there's a mask in there, and so I want to socially distance. If you'll just go on in, I'll get a mask here, and it's waiting on me." That would have been a much better approach. Sometimes I don't want to do the better approach. Can I get a witness? And that's when you got to make war. That's when you got to make war. Point number one, daily holiness. Remember who you are. Remember you are a pilgrim, and make war against your sin. Hey, watch this. It's making war against you. What if Brother Ben just kept doing stuff like that all through St. Clair? Yeah, sooner or later, and I'm not proud of this, but I'm telling you, there are some churches and some preachers that this type of conversation goes on, that when they hear Brother so-and-so, they'll say, "Well, no need to go there because he did this or he did that." Well, I don't want that. We've been at this since 88. We don't want to ruin what God's got going. And so I need to be sweet. I need to be nice. Well, the same's true about all of us. Look at this verse 12, point number two, the professional holiness approach. So you're working daily on an inward level, but now on a professional level, you need to make sure, look at verse 12, having your conduct honorable. What does honorable mean? Consistent with honor or reputation. It is not honorable to oppress the weak or to insult the vanquished. Respected, worthy of respect, regarded with esteem. Marriage is honorable to all, the Bible says, Hebrews 13. Performed or accompanied with marks of honor, with testimonies of esteem, as an honorable burial. Your manner of life, the Bible says, that means your daily way that you go about life should be honorable. And then look what he says, among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, and they will. Church, this world is going to speak evil against you as evildoers. By your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. So that means, you know all those verses that says, love your enemies? When they slap one cheek, you give them the other to slap, type thing. So this is in regard to sharing your faith. This isn't, you can absolutely stand your ground in self-defense if you or your family are in danger. We're not talking about that. This is talking about when someone is attacking you because of your faith in Christ, you're to take that because you're showing your deference, you're showing your patience, you're showing your love to them. You're being honorable. Now, I put in parentheses because you notice there it says that they will glorify God in the day of visitation. What's that? Could be one of two things. Could be when the Holy Spirit visits them to call them to salvation, or it could be when they stand before God. But watch this. This is what it says about it. When they have to give an answer, they will have had your testimony that they may be able to testify also. Church, when you and I respond properly to someone who is not responding properly to us, all we're doing is adding light to their gospel. We are absolutely pointing them to the cross. Point number three, the particulars in holiness. Now we just get right down to the brass tacks. Verse 13, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of men for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or to the governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God. Have you ever wondered, Lord, I just really want to know what your will is. Here it is. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now listen, church. That word, silence, actually means muzzle. When you and I return good for evil, we will shut, if you will, them up. Now, that's not a get back thing. That's not what that is. That is a bring glory to God thing. But how do you do that? So this is A, under this third point, the particulars in holiness approach. Obey the laws of the land. Say it with me, church. Obey the laws of the land. This is how you're going to prove to everybody that you're honorable and that you are absolutely taking your personal holiness serious. You're going to obey the laws of the land. And then look at verse 16. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as bondservants of God, we are to obey the laws of God. And so, no, just as a little caveat, it doesn't mean that we do everything that the government tells us to do. It means that we do what the government tells us to do as long as it does not cause us to break, if you will, the laws of God. And we had that discussion back in March when we went through the lockdown in 2020 and such of that nature. So I don't know if I need to go into great detail, but here's the bottom line. Until the government forces us by laws and precepts and statutes to break God's word, we are bound by God's word to obey the laws of the land. There it is. Peter said what he said when the magistrates were making it a law, if you will, for them not to speak the name of Jesus. And that's when he said, you guys decide, should I obey God or you? And that's our fallback. If it ever gets to that point, that's where we can go to and say, well, I'm sorry. In this area, I'm going to have to obey God rather than men. Well, in my humble opinion, we're not there yet. Could be next week, could be next month, could be next year. We'll wait and see. We need to be praying in the meantime that God sends a revival that sweeps this land. And amens ring throughout the building. Our peace, and we're going to get to that in just a minute, our peace and quiet life depends upon it. We need revival in this land. Point number four, the four disciplines of daily holiness. And before, let me just say this. Look at that verse 16 one more time. As free. So yes, church, as Christian people, we are free. But you cannot use that freedom as a cloak to fall into sin. Well, you know, God saved me. I'm going to heaven, so I'm free to do whatever I want. That is a misunderstanding of God's word. That's a misunderstanding of salvation. It's a misunderstanding of your relationship with Jesus Christ. If you truly been saved, you love God to the point you don't want to do the things that he has said, please don't do this. He's put circles around a few things and said, don't hurt yourself. Well, your freedom in Christ doesn't give you freedom to ignore those things. We are to practice daily holiness by obeying the laws of God. Okay, point number four, the four disciplines of daily holiness. And this is where we get to the T-shirt, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And we are closing here. Honor all people. Respect, regard, reflect. This is how you honor all people. Respect, regard, reflect. Love the brotherhood. Family first. Church, every person that you see here today, you are responsible to, on some level, to show love to support, and to help, on some level. Now, what is that level? Well, it can be a lot of things. First of all, if you're in that Sunday school class, it's even a higher level. If you are in their neighborhood, it's on a higher level. If you're in their physical blood family, it's on a higher level still. If God has put you two in a friendship, it's on a higher level still. So let's just say that it's none of those. You sit over here, they sit over there, and you really don't know their name, so on and so forth. You need to get to know their name. And you need to be listening. If something comes up about them, you need to pray for them. If you hear that Jack Powers is in the nursing home, you need to pray for him. You need to ask the family, is there anything I can do? So on and so forth. Now watch this. We all know that that is an acceptable cliche that everyone hopes no one responds to. The reality is, as Christians, we've got to say it in sincerity. Is there anything that we can do? And you know what I have found? The Holy Spirit will sometimes take care of that. He'll just say, you just go ahead and do this. You do this. He's probably going to whoop me after church, and he's capable of it. But I'm just going to give a rose to the living to our youth pastor and his wife and such. They're wonderful people. Thank you, Brother Gavin. You got a friend in Gavin, Brad. Monday or Tuesday, all the rain showed up on the, apps. And threw Brad in a panic because he's done a lot of work at the house and he hasn't gotten to the drain around the house. He's changed some things. He's just scared to death because I understand it. How many times have you soaked out that, basement over the last 20 years? Several times for hours. So he knows the potential. Well, Stacy just volunteered the information that, the last time one happened, I didn't have a sub pump. It didn't work. That's all she said. And then after lunch, Brad comes with a sub pump, and he says, "Hey, Stacy, put that in, use it." He took it to the house and put it in with Andrew. Yes, he did. Now watch this. Why am I telling you all that? Because that's how it's supposed to work. A need seen, finish it, is an assignment given. And church, you're wonderful at that. I mean that with all my heart. You're wonderful at that. And Brad, I got to fill you in a little more of the story. God had blessed Brad through an anonymous gift. And he's asked me to thank whoever that was. It was a wonderful, an anonymous gift. And in light of that, he could not turn around and bless someone when he saw the need. And he told me, he said, "Brother Ben, that's a discipline of mine anymore. When God blesses me, I wait for a while just to see if he wants it to go somewhere else." Church, that's exactly how it's supposed to happen. Sometimes God says, close that handed, that's for you. Sometimes he says, I'm trying to get that over here. So I was going to go to Tony and say, tonight, just volunteer the information, Tony, that you need about $500. And let's just put him to the test. No, I'm kidding. I didn't do that, but I wanted to. I wanted to bad. Now, Tony doesn't need $500, Brad, okay? So here's the point, church. This is this in practice. Love the brotherhood. We've got a man in this building that has blessed Brad and I over and over. And I just can't say thanks enough. We've got families that have done the same. You have done the same for each other. Church, that's how it works. That's how it works. And now, you may say, but Brother Ben, I'm just not really sure how to do that. The Holy Spirit will be faithful. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, family first with unconditional love, fear God, knowing that a loving God judges every word, thought, action, and deed to maintain a holy relationship that is real, vibrant, and personal. Church, this is something that God is really pushing with me and as a result with you. He wants us to fear him. He doesn't want us to fear him like this. He wants us to fear him with a godly awe, that he knows every word, thought, action, and deed, and he still loves you. And so he just wants you to work on that. He wants us to come to that realization that every word, thought, action, and deed is being judged by a loving God. And so if we truly want to please him, we're going to live in that light, that we need to do our best to live a holy life. We need to try. You see, that's what I got so upset about Tuesday. I felt like he was saying I wasn't trying. Church, I'm telling you, I'm trying. But I'm not trying hard enough. And that's what it got to. I'm not trying hard enough. And that's true in these areas that we're talking about today. For me, I'm not trying hard enough in the areas that I struggle. I'm not trying hard enough in the areas that God has loved me enough to put his finger on. And I need to try harder. And that's what God is calling us to today. Lastly, honor the king. Listen to this verse, 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Church, as far as I'm concerned, and we all know that our nation has certainly had issues all throughout different places in the nation, but as a general rule, and for sure for Franklin County, we have lived a peaceable life. We have. And that's what God wants for us. But watch this. It only happens when we're honoring the king. Even if it's President Biden. I'm serious. And I don't mind the laughter. I'm just telling you. I'm serious. President Biden deserves, needs our prayer, our love, our honor, our respect. You do not have to agree with him on everything. If you're like me, you agree with him on few things. And that's okay. But he is our president. And even though half of the nation 4 years previous didn't give us that same effort, we've got no control over that. We can only control. We got to stay in our yard. And we can show them how to honor and respect a president that we really don't agree a lot on. But he is the United States of America president. And if we pray for him, and we pray for our Congress leader, Nancy Pelosi, we pray for our Senate leader, Majority Schumer, and Minority McConnell. Almost called him the turtle, sorry. I do a lot of political reading. Some people call him the turtle. That's not coming from me. It's from someone else. I love Mr. McConnell. Hear me. Stay with me. God will bless our efforts. God will bless our efforts. And watch this. This is the neatest thing for me. Brother Dale can tell you this. Brother Gavin can tell you this. Many others can tell you this. We have not always been super duper successful when we do a quote unquote evangelistic campaign or outreach, but God has always been faithful when we do an evangelistic campaign or outreach. Whether or not the outreach itself is successful, God honors with people being saved and people becoming part of the church. He just does. And so whether or not Joe Biden gets saved, whether or not these people get saved, God will honor his people praying for those people. He will. Honor the king. Honor the king. Let's all stand. Musicians, will you come? If you're here today in a crowd this size, I'm sure that the potential is high, that someone does not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And that's not on any level an accusation. We're just trying to ask if you will admit that. If you are at that place, if you will come today during this invitation, we'll send you as someone gender appropriate. They'll share the gospel with you. Maybe you just want to turn this into an old-fashioned altar and pray for the revival of our land. Maybe you just want to pray for yourself in these areas that you would practice these things. I'm begging you. Let's do business with God. Let's sing.